This is the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
It is a Thursday afternoon, so I will update you on the Upstate University Hospital Moonlight Movie Series presented by AmeriQ. Tonight at the Finger Lakes Drive-In in Auburn, 7:45, gates open. Movie start at 9. It is a double feature. You got a big car. You get more people in. $10 a carload. You get free popcorn, courtesy of Procopio Real Estate. And the website to get your tickets and everything else and all the information that I just gave out and more. MoonlightMoviesCNY.com. It is The Hangover and Pineapple Express tonight. They kind of go all around the spectrum with different movies. It is very family friendly. Those might be a little bit more adult oriented. But needless to say, every Thursday straight through August, if you want to go catch a double feature. My name is Rain, Matt Page, the glue guy in studio. It is a crazy busy Thursday, and I can't wait to get started. I feel like we've already done a 2-hour sports talk show prior to even getting on the air. We're going to go till 4 o'clock. You'll be joined by Brent Axe at that point in time with On the Block. Shout out to the Orange Nation guys. We have Eric Devendorf and Coach Jeremy Pope from Boeheim's Army and TBT tomorrow. I believe Coach Pope is, or no, Devo is on with Axe later on today. So we got you covered. We're even going to hit up Michael Lear, who you've heard on with all of us.
Good English.
See what happens when you combine a last name with another word?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to work on that.
Well, it's like Neil Peart. Everyone called him Pert.
Yeah, Matt Neil Peart. Peart. On the Giants. Listen, we got some great guests lined up. We got some friends we're going to talk to about a whole bunch of different subjects. You're going to hear from Eric Columbia from News Channel 9 today. John Schmelk with Giants.com today. Nick Delahanty with Bronx Pinstripes. There may or may not have been a pretty substantial trade for the New York Yankees. They're making moves, and there is a lot more rumors. The trade deadline's at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And did I mention Damon Amendolara, an alum currently with CBS Radio, and the content creator of Orange Fizz. So there's much to talk about today. Have you seen the tweet that's been going around? What is not an Olympic sport but could be one in Syracuse?
I did see that. Alex Sims.
Everybody has been jumping on this. It's pretty funny. I don't know. We take suggestions for that.
I feel like a bar crawl in Armory Square.
We are on ESPN Radio 97.7 and 100.1 for Syracuse and Oswego. And in the Utica Rome Market, of course, at 96.5 FM. QSportsTalk.com is where you'll find us on Twitch. That should be the first Twitch poll, right?
What's that?
The question, yes. What is not an Olympic sport but could be one in Syracuse? And when the time limit runs out, I think it's 10 minutes and then you get the results. Is that how it works on Twitch? I know the answer to that. That's basically what it is. Then just repost that.
Yeah.
That's a conversation for all day.
I feel like in a general sense, not an Olympic sport but could be or should be? Competitive eating. Can you imagine Joey Chestnut in the Olympics?
No.
That would be fire, as the kids say.
We talked to Jason Fitz, who, due to travel the past couple of Tuesdays, hasn't joined us at 3:15. We're good to go for next Tuesday if you miss one half of Spain and Fitz. But along with Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., they cover that for ESPN, right? They're the hosts of it. And we had asked him point blank, like, what's it like afterwards? I suggested there had to be a ridiculous amount of flatulence. And he's like, it's just painful to watch these guys and girls after Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest on July 4th. I would just, I can't even imagine. The world's biggest barf bag would be necessary after something like that. That's all I can assume.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the feeling after that, you must feel like you played like an entire hockey or basketball game. Like you just mentally and physically exhausted.
Is it just one game though? Because I feel like it's probably multiple games back to back.
Yeah, if you went through like a 3 overtime game in the playoffs for hockey, that's what I think it'd feel like.
Would you also need the world's largest porta potty?
I don't know if a porta potty could handle the contents, to be honest. I feel like you need something. You need like a real bathroom that you can flush. I mean, you can't let that stuff stew.
We went way further with this than I think even I intended. Sportszilla Show, ESPN Radio, Cuse, TBT, Boeheim's Army, 69-54. Beat Always a Brave. Now on to the tournament's version of the Elite Eight, which is fantastic news. So you've gone from Peoria to Dayton, which was the goal. McCullough is an NBA talent.
Yes, he is.
I don't care what anybody says. Is straight up, you're the real MVP last night. Just, I loved his game. Kiefer Sykes has really been impressive. He's really come on. Kane and Kennedy, those two, just, you can tell that they have played a lot of basketball together. And these additions outside of the traditional Orange family, which if you're realistic about this, welcome them aboard. At the end of it, if it's Boeheim's Army representing the Syracuse Orange, I think the Boeheim name is synonymous yeah. with it. You're good with that, right? And you know what? I'm sure they're not going to mind the check they get at the end of this if they win $1 million. I get the Golden Eagles. That's 2 o'clock on Saturday. I feel good about this team. They looked rusty in the first game, but there's been adjustments made, not just to the starting lineup, to switching a little man to man. Everybody has seemed to carve out their role. They found out Coach Pope has really just used the personnel well on this team. Everybody is contributing. It feels like a team now. You know, I mean, yeah, there's the cardiac cuse aspect of this in the first couple of games, but you know what? It's a legit chance, as most experts predicted, to win this thing. Spencer, come on now with Boeheim's Army.
Yeah, this last night we saw the team that we were expecting heading into the tournament. It was a completely dominant performance. Now, granted, look, it's a game of runs, and after they went up by 15-16, Always a Brave came back. They brought it to within 10, brought it to within 9. But that was about it. I mean, there was no real threat. There was no real nerves in the second half like there had to be, you know, the last time out against Team Heartfire. This was a complete team effort from Boeheim's Army. It looks like they're finally hitting their stride, which is great. And they're getting it done on both ends of the floor. I mean, I love, you know, DeAndre Kane. I love the steals at one end, in transition, bucket at the other end. They're just playing a complete game.
It was almost like the outcome was never in doubt. They built that lead, and even though they chipped away at it a little bit, they never really let them mount a sustainable run to get back in that game. We avoided cardiac cues in this game.
And not to mention, we were in their home building.
Yeah, so
they had all their fans there. They were loud, and Boeheim's Army, you know, they shut them up. They kept them quiet. So that was quite the feat, and, you know, very deserving of a trip to Dayton. And I feel much better about this Boeheim's Army team heading into the Elite Eight than I did with them heading into last night's game after the first two.
Anybody have an update on the Yankee scores? 4-0 in the first. Garrett Cole is not having a good day at all.
Still 4-0.
It is still 4-0. All right. We could use Joey Gallo today instead of tomorrow, as Aaron Boone said that earlier today, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So he'll be joining the team for the first game against the Miami Marlins tomorrow.
Joey Gallo, Jolie Rodriguez, the Rangers are paying. We gave up 4 prospects. Oh, boy. You got those 2 friends from Texas back. Everybody's saying you got to get Trevor Story for DJ LeMahieu now. I don't know. The Yankees are still, they're making money moves. Luke Voit is being discussed. There's a lot of rumors about him. Listen, this is going to be a very different team. The deadline, once again, 4 o'clock tomorrow. We will have a great conversation with Nick Delahanty, once again, from Bronx Pinstripes, 2:30 right here on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio.
And by the way, he's in our Twitch chat right now.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
All right, man. Well, throw something in there, and we'll read, react, and respond. We got a few minutes left as we open things up today, though. It's time for the glue guy to ask Spencer and me some questions. We call this Does It Matter?
Does it matter? It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Does it matter?
So for the Olympic sport, he said bringing in grocery bags.
Especially if you live on like the 3rd floor or something like that.
And you always got to do it in one trip, right?
And you get inside and your hands, your fingers are just shredded.
The worst.
That's honestly a very
great idea. And you can have, just like with swimming, you can have like individual events where you have to bring everything in yourself. Or you can have like, you know, quote unquote, like family relay events where you have to pass off the bags. That'd be great, Nick. That's a great, great, great idea.
Is it paper, plastic, or the reusable bags that you're bringing yourself?
Paper, because I think those rip easier, so that would make it a little bit more difficult. Not to mention, you know, the plastic ban here in the state of New York would not be fair to New York athletes because they wouldn't be able to train that way.
Is it the traditional old paper bags, or is it the paper bags with the handles that you can get at some places?
No.
Because sometimes those rip off, you got something too heavy in there.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's got to be the bags with no handles that you have to cradle under it. I feel like, because then it's also a balancing act.
Does it matter that we expand on the subjects that we don't really need to as much?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, I think it does.
Let's go. Next question, Sportszilla Show, ESPN Radio. Does it matter, of course?
Does it matter that you guys have some kind of humble brag going on in the other studio and want to bring that on air?
So Coach Pope quote tweeted me yesterday from Boeheim's Army.
Wait, what'd you call him?
Coach Jeremy Pope.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
You shouldn't call him by his first name.
Oh, that's right. No, I can call him by his first name. He's not my coach.
That's right.
Isn't that
how
that works?
Yes.
Not if you're Deion Sanders, right? That's
Coach Prime, yeah.
Yeah, Deion Sanders. Yeah, we talked about that last week, I think.
I was pretty excited when I saw that.
Although,
saw
if you call him Coach Pope, that's going to confuse me because that was the name of my high school lacrosse coach, so... I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think he's gonna be able to tell the difference between lacrosse and basketball. I thought it was pretty cool. I got some Twitter love, some online love from Coach Jeremy Pope. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I mean that's it's cool. It's certainly cool, but I mean it's not not to one up you, but Ryan Rucco, Michael Kay, John Buchagross.
Oh, and you're verified too.
And I'm verified. I got that check mark.
Oh, I'm verified on Twitter.
Oh,
look at
also
me.
Tino Martinez liked a picture of mine on Instagram.
Just continue to name drop every quote unquote famous person that has ever given you Twitter love. Get it out of your system.
Oh yeah, I also got a like on Twitter from Gabrielle Union.
Really, Dwayne Wade's wife?
Yeah, Dwayne Wade's wife and the artist that is Gabrielle Union. So I
actually know she's had her own career aside from marrying Dwayne Wade. I got to give a woman like Gabrielle Union her credit.
Absolutely.
It's actually, I think it's cooler to be Gabrielle Union than Dwayne Wade. No offense to Dwayne Wade, right?
I think he would tell you the same thing.
I'm just Gabrielle Union's husband.
Yeah, I think he would tell you the exact same thing. And I'm not trying to knock Jeremy Pope at all. I mean, I like him a lot. I think he's doing a great job.
Spencer, I know you're trying to one-up me here with your humble brag. Yeah. Can I just tell you, I have interviewed like every rock star in the last 25 years due to my K-Rock days. Can I get that? Just have that moment?
Yeah. You got me on that one. But at the same time, I said I was trying not to one-up you. So by giving that disclaimer, that took away any chance of me.
You got one.
So here I am sitting here sad because no one interacts with me on Twitter.
I interact with you on Twitter.
He's like, I'm here
today.
Yeah,
but no one famous.
Whoa. Yeah, that's true.
Nothing. No humble brags?
Nothing. That's true.
Next question.
That's true.
Does it matter that class of 2022 recruit Kyle Filipowski commits to Duke?
You're the enemy now. You're wearing the wrong laundry. That's always my reaction to that. I wish he came here. We wanted him. We've talked about this numerous times over the past handful of weeks. Cuse went hard. He decided to go there. And at the same time, I'm like, wow, he has really just the game to fit the way Syracuse plays. He chose otherwise. Would have been nice to have you. Would have shown you a lot of orange love. Now, no, I'm giving you a thumbs down and a boo. But of course, I guess I sort of wish you the best, unless you're playing Syracuse. That's the way I look at it.
Let me tell you something. And to continue the trend of confusing names, every time I see Kyle Filipowski or Filipowski, I get confused because there is a kid who goes to New Hartford that plays on their basketball and baseball teams. His name is Kyle Filipkowski.
Oh, wow.
So every time I see that Syracuse was trying to recruit this kid, I'm like, they're trying to recruit the New Hartford kid?
Somewhere out there, there's a coach, not Krzyzewski, but like Krzyzewsko. Confusing
exactly.
Everybody the wrong vowel.
Mike Krzyzewsko.
You got any more questions real quick? We got a minute before we got to step aside for the first break.
Does it matter that the NBA draft is tonight and it's really not a very deep draft as far as high caliber prospects?
And that's probably why we talk TBT, New York Yankees, and a few other things first.
And Team USA.
But yet, I will be glued to the TV to watch the draft later. I will.
Or on the radio at both markets.
Yeah, of course. On ESPN Radio, that's absolutely 100%. 97.7, 100.1. ESPN Radio, Utica, Rome, 96.5 FM. Listen to the NBA draft.
Even though we're not in Utica.
Fantastic plug.
That's right. We're only on at Syracuse right now. The Knicks have 4 picks. We'll talk to John Schmelk about that at about 3:15. And you got to expect trades, a lot of trades, right? You were following along with some of this, Glue Guy.
Yeah, so it just seems like a lot of first-round picks are going to be traded because there's not much talent in this year's draft, so a lot of teams will want to move back into next year's draft or a couple years from now draft because there's not a lot of talent going on.
It's a top-heavy draft.
It is.
It really is, and then you're looking for the diamond, kind of the diamond in the rough. The Knicks have not only a ton of cap space, but 2 in the first, 2 in the second, 4 picks. I'm expecting, listen, if they figure things and get one really good draft pick out of this, somebody that they can work with next year, get him in there. He can play a little bit and develop like Obi Toppin. I think that's successful because I don't think the Knicks, especially with Thibodeau, when we talked about this the other day, are in a position where they're going to draft 4 guys, throw them on this roster, maybe stash one away overseas, or maybe one goes to Westchester to play in the G League. Thibodeau's not going to develop four rookies. No, it's not happening. It's just not happening. It's not the way he is.
No, and I don't think they need to. I don't think this roster needs, you know, to continue to pile up draft picks and draft capital. I think at this point, I would rather see them, you know, draft maybe one or two guys, see if they can find that complement to the team, find that diamond in the rough. But you know, with the other two or even three picks, see if you can get an NBA ready player. See if you can get somebody that can come into this roster and help them win now. Because let me tell you, in a very short amount of time, this Knicks team became, you know, came from being laughing stocks, and they need, you know, high draft picks, and they need to be in the lottery, and, you know, hopefully they get the number one pick, to now it's really they're one or two players away from win now mode.
Cade Cunningham, the consensus first pick, Jalen Green to Houston, second pick, Evan Mobley, third. As I scroll through a mock that, of course, these things aren't necessarily ever on point, but Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga, he's a pretty good basketball player. Scotty Barnes to round out the top five seems to be where we're going. James Bouknight, too. That's another one. I've heard if he drops, that's actually a target of the Knicks, but we'll leave it there. We're going to have a further discussion on the NBA draft. I'm very excited for that tonight. But we're going to pause right now real quick on ESPN Radio and the Sports Illa Show. We're going to get into the Twitch chat, which is at QSportsTalk.com, and our kerfuffle is next. There's a lot of sports beefs going on right now. Aren't there always, though?
Love it.
We discuss a few next.
This is the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
QSportsTalk.com, having some fun conversations in there. You bring it whenever we have somebody on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line, which we will. Next up in our next segment, Nick Dalahunty. Can't wait to talk to Eric Columbia and John Schmelk to talk Giants and Knicks. Yeah, I think we answered the question that was in the Twitch chat, how we feel about the Knicks in the draft tonight. I'm sure we'll address that a little bit later when we have that phone conversation. It's time for the kerfuffle now, sports beef. What's going on in the world of sports? Who doesn't like each other? That type of a thing. Is Devin Booker got an issue with Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton? He said the memories are there. This is Devin Booker talking, but it's nothing personal between us. We lost and that's it, and I'm man enough to accept that and move on, so there's no hate towards Jrue and K-Mid. The Bucks beat the Suns. 19 hours later, they're on a plane heading over to Tokyo. Now they're teammates trying to win gold. Yeah, I think you can let that go for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, there's a lot of respect in the NBA, you know, between players. And then when you come together to represent your country to try to win gold in the Olympics, you can set everything else aside. And you should be able to do that.
I mean, I understand from a competitive nature, he'd be a little bit salty.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't know. I'm sure there's people out there that wish that, like, maybe they brawled on the plane over there and they were mad at each other. It's a kerfuffle that I wanted to create because it would be great content, but it would suck for Team USA. So I'm kind of glad that they're being adults and professionals and moving on.
But what are they supposed to fight about, though? Honestly,
you jerk, you beat me.
You lost. Yeah. Your team lost.
Yeah, accept it.
You lost four straight games. What are you supposed to do? I'm right. Sure that long plane trip made him, you know, cool out quite a bit.
Yeah. It's like, what do you talk about for however many hours? What is a 14-hour flight?
How does the trophy about? Feel?
Hey, remember that time that we beat you in the finals yesterday?
I remember.
Remember? You know what? It's a 13-hour time difference. You get on that plane and you just get farther and farther away from it automatically.
That's right.
So it could have been like Kelvin Benjamin and Joe Judge. That was a real quick comeback and a position change that you tried with the New York Giants. What was it, receiver to tight end or the other way around? But the bottom line is Joe Judge tells him, you got to get to a certain weight, right? He's 265 at the end of minicamp in June. They told him to get to 251. He reported to training camp at 268. He passed the conditioning test. Joe Judge is real big on conditioning, and his players last year said, listen, he's tough, but you're really grateful in the fourth quarter of games and especially later in the season, late in games, that you're in really good shape. But then, kind of like Aaron Rodgers aired his grievances when he walked into Green Bay's camp, and he let it all out.
Boy, he lit a fire, didn't he?
Kelvin Benjamin did the same thing. He was ripping on Joe Judge. He goes, I got a perspective on Joe Judge. He's not a coach that could ever win a Super Bowl. He sits there and cusses all day. That's what a coach is supposed to do. He can tell you, or you can tell that he's one-sided about everything. He's a know-it-all. That's not how this is supposed to work. I mean, these are just some of his comments. So needless to say, this is right after Judge and Gettleman get together with him, tell him you're going to be fine because we told you you had to be at a certain weight, right? You want to get paid. These are the rules. Otherwise, these are the consequences of your actions. He didn't meet them, so they've agreed to part ways. And boy, did Kelvin Benjamin have a lot more to say.
So Kelvin Benjamin said he's never won a ring. Is that what he said?
He said he's not a coach that can ever win a Super Bowl because he sits there and cusses all day.
Okay, so all those Super Bowl rings with the Patriots and national championships with Alabama means nothing?
Apparently, if a coach swears, he's not going to be able to win.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Jim Boeheim's got a national championship, and I know you might not realize this, but listen, Jim drops him too.
We wouldn't have won 10 effing games.
That's right. That was the only time. Yeah. That was the only time that ever happened.
Right, the only time.
Much love to GMAC as well. We're on the subject. That was a fun kerfuffle. I have a question, though. Can I start one when it comes to Jim Boeheim?
Do it.
And please not.
Coach of Boeheim's Army, Jeremy Pope, who's moving on to the Elite Eight. Does that mean Jeremy Pope's a better coach than Boeheim? Because, listen, Syracuse only made the Sweet 16 last year. In the tournament, we're in the Elite Eight, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're like those people who only base, you know, whether or not somebody's a good player or a Hall of Famer based on rings, then, yeah, getting further in a tournament, Jeremy Pope would be a better coach.
Brent Axe might argue in favor of that because he's willing to play man-to-man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, maybe they should rename it to Pope's Army.
Next year, that's what's going to happen. Hey, stay the coach. You never know. No, we'll stick with Boeheim's Army.
That's a dumb thing to say, by the way.
ESPN. Like, that's the first time. That's the first time.
No,
we got a Matt versus Rain kerfuffle brewing here. I love it.
He started it.
Yeah, that's true.
ESPN released a statement in response to the Big 12 cease and desist letter, claiming that the claims in the letter have no merit whatsoever. They're basically, listen, I can surmise this. They're insinuating that ESPN talking about this is ultimately going to cost them money. That's really what this is about. Doesn't it always boil down to money?
Doesn't it seem like sour grapes, though? So yeah, these teams are leaving your conference, so they got to blame someone, and they can't blame the two teams that are leaving. Oh, let's blame the media partner.
That's exactly what it is. It's nonsense. I could read you all of the language within it and the blah, 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 and the legalese. I'm not going to waste your time. Well, ESPN, I mean, if you read through it, it's just a joke. It's a total joke.
I mean, what happened to the you know, the betterment of the academic success of your student athletes? What happened to that?
From the other day?
Yeah, what happened to that? I thought that's why the moves were being made.
It has nothing
to do with money.
None of the cease and desist was really about academics. It ultimately boiled down.
Oh, so you mean to tell me that this whole moving thing is about money?
I think it might be.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, I was under the impression that from the SEC commissioner, he said whatever's best for the academic success of our student athletes. So I thought that's what this whole move was about.
As he says, holding a bunch of Benjamins.
Yeah.
On a scale of one to dumb, how dumb was that statement?
That was pretty dumb.
He's going to rate them all. Was it as dumb as my previous statement?
No, yours was the dumbest.
Not quite as dumb? Okay. Kyrie Irving hates his new Nike signature shoes. And he called him on it. He point blank said this: the Kyrie 8's supposed to be coming out. He says he's not really consulted the way he wanted to be in relation to its release. Nike's going to go ahead and do it anyways. Kyrie Irving says, I hate it. Aren't they paying you? Just lie and say you love them and sell them.
Can I say this is dumb too?
Yeah.
Because like you just said, he's getting paid all this money for a signature shoe. And so what if you don't like it? Just say you love it and then make a bunch of money on it because you're endorsing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, you were saying Kyrie was dumb?
Yes.
Yeah.
Phew. Oh, I thought you were calling me dumb again.
Not yet.
All right, you get a pass on that one.
I got to say, I've heard in an ironic twist of events, Kyrie doesn't like the shoe because the bottoms are too flat. He wanted it to be rounded.
Okay, that was good.
Come out with a Kyrie Flat Earth Nike shoe and, man. That's...
All around the globe, folks. There's Flat Earthers all around the globe, they say.
That is a brilliant marketing campaign. Why don't we take a phoner from Nick Delahanty with Bronx Pinstripes? We'll get to the bottom of the trade deadline in the New York Yankees. I'm lying. We won't because it's still going on till tomorrow. Are there more moves after this big blockbuster Joey Gallo trade? Find out next on ESPN Radio. We're going to get back with you, QSportsTalk.com, where we twitch.
This is the SportsZilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
I'm a mess whenever I'm in control of running our rejoins from commercial breaks here on the radio on ESPN Radio. I'm a mess. I am. I'm used to us being on in Syracuse, Oswego, Utica, Rome. And when the Yankees game is on in our Utica, Rome affiliate, Like, oh, I've got to, like, the extra responsibility. My big brain, or I'm sorry, big cranium, small brain. I'm just dumb. I can't get it all together. The Yankees apparently are trying to. It was 4-0 in the first inning. Garrett Cole on the mound. He's locked him down for a few innings now. And you predicted 6-4?
Yeah, I'm saying they still come back and they win this game 6-4. That is my gut feeling. I will, of course, accept it if I am wrong. But
Spencer, they're not playing the Yankees. They are the Yankees.
That's true. There's not going to be any, like, you know, eighth inning comeback.
One of our Twitch polls, QSportsTalk.com, is what is not an Olympic sport but could be one in Syracuse. That was actually answered, the best answer of the day so far, by Nick Delahanty with Bronx Pinstripes, who joins us now. And we have a pending trade deadline tomorrow at 4 o'clock. There's been the Clay Holmes move, the deletion of Sessa and Wilson. I think Sessa tacked on to get rid of Wilson because he's been atrocious with a 7.5 ERA. No Scherzer, maybe Trevor Story. Rumors now about Luke Voit. Hey, and we got Joey Gallo and Jolly Rodriguez, and the Rangers are paying for it. We gave up 4 prospects. Let's get your initial reaction to all that, Nick. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me again. The trade, I think, brought a lot of excitement for Yankee fans because I feel like over the last couple of days, Yankee fans were really wondering what route they were going to go at the deadline. Were they going to stand pat? Were they even going to maybe sell? Or were they going to add something that could help them down the stretch? And Joey Gallo is a big addition. You got to take the batting average and the high strikeouts out of the equation. You got to look at the whole picture with him. Guy gets on base a lot. 38% of the time he's on base. Very good defender, gold glove type of outfielder. So I think it's a move that really just shows not only the team and the organization, but the fan base that they're committed to winning now, and they're going to do whatever they can to try to right this ship, especially given how hard the beginning of the year has been for them.
Do you think it's the right move to buy like this? Because I guess the next question is, are they done?
I think that it's the right move for them to be buying at this point, especially when you could get somebody who has club control. And Gallo is a guy that's really intriguing because not only is he a rental where you get him for the rest of the year, but you do in fact get him for next year as well. So I think it makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. They see a window for this current roster, and Gallo would fit that very nicely. I don't think they're done. I think that if this trade is any indication, they're far from finished. And the reason why I say that is because the Rangers are eating the majority of the salary for Gallo and Rodriguez, which gives the Yankees a little more wiggle room as the trade deadline looms near, as they want to stay under the luxury tax. So I think that they're buying smart, but also they're buying in a position where they're not going to just wreck their goals from earlier in the year of getting under the luxury tax, but still could help this team get better.
So that being said, we're speaking with Nick Delahanty of Bronx Pinstripes. Okay, we said they're not done yet. You don't think that they're done yet. We've had a few names thrown out there. Trevor Story, Kyle Schwarber, apparently 3 AL East teams are potentially in on him. So where do you think, what direction do you think they're going to go? There's also rumors that the Yankees could be shopping, or at least there's interest in Luke Voit to head out of New York. So where do you think they go from here?
I think it's really intriguing about Voit. And he was a guy that during the offseason, I felt the Yankees may look to move. And talking about the last offseason, because I felt that they were in a position where they would like to play Gleyber Torres at second base. Regardless, they kept him. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, but you got to remember, this guy led the bigs in home runs last year in the shortened season, so there's still a lot of value for him. If that gives away anything, I think the Yankees are still on the market for a shortstop, whether that's Trevor Story or maybe they call up the Twins for Simmons, a good defensive player. I think that that's the route the Yankees are trying to go. If they can upgrade at shortstop and move Gleyber Torres back to second base, I think it's the route that the Yankees want to go at this point. And unfortunately, Voit's expendable, but if you can upgrade the shortstop position, especially with a guy like Story, I think the Yankees are going to jump all over and try to fix the issues they've seen earlier in the year.
Nick, what do the Yankees have on Texas? Because they acquired 3 guys from the Rangers this season, including Odor earlier in the season, that the Rangers are all paying for. Why is this happening?
Well, for starters, Odor makes a lot of sense why they would pay him to get rid of him. He wasn't producing for them. It was a guy that, you know, they didn't see a future with, and they did give him a bigger contract. So to get rid of him, most of the time you will see the team kind of take the salary. As for the Gallo trade, I think that the Rangers were looking for quantity over quality. And instead of taking maybe one or two higher level prospects from the Yankees, they decided, look, let's get more from this deal than people probably thought we could have. The rumors last night were saying they were going to get as many as six players. You saw a bunch of names getting shuffled in and out. But I think that the Rangers, in order to get the guys that they were looking at, decided, you know what? We're looking for the future. We're going to eat this money, help the Yankees out, and in turn get the prospects that we feel could definitely help us down the road.
And Joey Gallo is going to get paid in arbitration this offseason. His number is going to jump up. The Rangers will not have to pay that. Yeah, they didn't get top prospects, but they got good prospects. It's a like a 2 to 3 year plan for the Rangers, it seems like. Nick Delahunty with Bronx Pinstripes here on ESPN Radio and the Sportszilla Show. So what do you think of Clay Holmes? He's got a really high ground ball rate, but the ERA isn't great. So they're thinking maybe they can fix him in the analytical lab that the Yankees are so dependent on?
Yeah, that's the plan. He's not a guy that's going to blow hitters away and get a lot of swings and misses, but he's a guy that gets a lot of ground balls. One big issue for Holmes is the walk rate, a guy that has had some trouble with control. But like you said, the Yankees feel that they could fix these pitchers, and he'll be working closely with Matt Blake, and maybe they'll be able to find a diamond in the rough. Look at the Yankees in the past. They found guys that have come up and stepped up in big occasions, and maybe Holmes could be in the next piece toward that. And the Gallo trade kind of gave it away too, because the two pitchers rumored to be coming to New York, the one in actually Rodriguez, they both have high ground ball rates as well. So I think the Yankees are very intact and have their knowledge that Yankee Stadium is not a good place for fly ball pitchers, and are trying to accumulate guys that fit that Yankee Stadium need and know that they can keep the ball on the ground.
In reference to Joey Gallo, this is what Michael Kay said.
Well, they're getting a left-handed power hitter who should play well at Yankee Stadium with the short right field porch. The Yankees, one of the weaknesses of the way they've been built is that they're really too right-handed. So it makes it easier for another team to match up hard-throwing right-handed relievers. Now, you're going to have some potholes in there. You could put Joey Gallo between Judge and Stanton, or Judge and Sanchez, and then you've got Rougned Odor, who's played well as well. So those are two lefty bats that could hit home runs, and it'll make a manager think about going to a right-handed reliever, because, you know, with the rule that you have to face three batters in a row, you do have that pothole for a manager to consider now, and the Yankees have been too right-handed, so that solves that.
Boy, I mean, it's just one guy, but that's a hell of a lefty bat with the potential over a full season of 50 bombs in Yankee Stadium. I mean, I can't disagree with a single word that Michael Kay said. Spencer, your comments on that, and then let's kick it back to Nick and see what he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, having a left-handed bat in the lineup is something that the Yankees really desperately needed on a daily basis. Really, Rougned Odor was the only one. Sometimes, you know, Brett Gardner gets in, but, you know, I think there's nothing bad about this move. They didn't give up any of their top prospects. They're, you know, Texas is retaining some of the salary. He's a great bat. He's good in the outfield. I think it's a great move. He also grew up a diehard Yankees fan and another New York team fan. So I'm all in on it.
Hold on.
Okay.
Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was Derek Jeter. It wasn't even close. You know, for me, Derek Jeter was just an idol for me. And my family grew up in New York, so I grew up a New York sports fan and everything. Yankees, Giants, Knicks, Rangers for hockey. So diehard Yankee fan.
Yeah, I'm loving me some Joey Gallo. Nick Delahunty.
When do I get a T-shirt?
Nick Delahunty with Bronx Pinstripes here on ESPN Radio on the Sportszilla Show. Your response to those two pieces of audio and the conversation we're having.
I agree with Michael Kay, and I absolutely love the move. I think if you're looking at trades, especially at this time of the year, you're trying to check off all the boxes, and you're never going to find a perfect player. You know, there's always flaws to players' game, and I feel like Gallo just fits the Yankees so well. First and foremost, think about him hitting in Yankee Stadium for a full year. Mm-hmm. I think the possibility of that in itself is just an incredible thing, and it's going to be fun to watch. If you look at his numbers hitting in his home ballpark in Texas, there's a lot of instances where fly balls he hits there are home runs in Yankee Stadium. So I think that you're going to see the power numbers there, and I think Yankee fans are going to have a lot of fun chasing after souvenirs. The other thing that makes a lot of sense for me in regards to Gallo is the rating that the players do about him. There's not a bad word said about this guy. He's a good clubhouse guy. They say he comes every day prepared, ready to go. And I think that he'll fit right in with the Yankees' way about doing things. I think it'd be a nice addition. And then from the trade aspect, you got to look at what Cashman did. Yeah, they didn't give up any of the top flight prospects. They used their depth within the organization to help them tremendously. You know, they have a lot of middle infield depth. They have a lot of right-handed pitching depth. So they were able to use that to their advantage. And that's what makes the organization so strong, is that they have the depth necessary to let them make a move like this. So I think overall it's a win-win. And you reunite a guy who absolutely loves playing in New York and loves the Yankees. So I think it's an exciting time for Yankee fans and for the organization.
Nick Delahanty with Bronx Pinstripes with us here on ESPN Radio. I've got 30 seconds. So what is the one move in your mind the Yankees have to make, assuming they make one more before the deadline tomorrow?
So I would say that the one move that every Yankee fan seems to want is Trevor Story. But I'm going to throw a little curveball out. Call up the Twins, get Berrios and Simmons. You get another starting pitcher. You get a shortstop for the time being. Helps you defensively. I think that would be a move that would really help this team come the postseason.
You know, I can't disagree with that. I'm wishy-washy on Trevor's story, but I'm grateful to Nick Delahanty. Thank you for the time, man. We'll reach out again. We'll talk Yankees with you very soon. QSportsTalk.com. Find us on Twitch, ESPN Radio. With a quick break here on the Sports Illa Show, and You're Killing Me Smalls is next. Aside from the draft tonight, there's some other interesting news that might have kind of passed you by. We want to bring it back, and we'll do it next.
This is the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
But in time, Matt tells us which Space Jam was better. No, I'm kidding. We're going to get a fight again. Kerfuffle. We're going to kerfuffle again. We got him mad. He already called me dumb today.
Multiple times, actually.
He's going to call me.
No. I said your takes were dumb. Big difference.
Come on. You had to know that I was joking about Jeremy Pope being better than Boeheim, because, you know, Boeheim's army's in the Elite Eight and Boeheim only got to the Sweet 16. I mean, I'm not serious. I wasn't serious about that.
Or are you?
Of course I wasn't serious about that. Come on now. Hey, I told you. Axe would like the fact that he plays man-to-man, and he might back me on this. Then again, Axe might also realize that I'm being utterly ridiculous, and we'll move on. Yeah, QSportsTalk.com, that's where we Twitch. Appreciate the love. Nick Delahanty, who joined us from Bronx Pinstripes, does a great job. That's why we reach out to him. But we got to get to your Killing Me Smalls real quick, and it has to do with the NBA. And I know the NBA draft is tonight, but that's where we're going. That's where we'll move to John Schmelk at 3:15. If you're a big NBA fan or a Knicks fan, like Spencer and I are, Celtics suck. We will talk to John Schmelk about, well, the Giants real quick, because he works for Giants.com and the Kelvin Benjamin Joe Judge debacle. But he covers the Knicks, too, and he's got great insight. So we will get there in a minute. But in sticking with the NBA, it was a couple weeks ago, they said, hey, we're going to address the issues with shooters jumping into defenders, getting fouls called that way. It's terrible. And that's the one aspect when I watch the NBA that I cannot stand. I'm like, that's not a foul. You can't initiate the contact and get the foul called on the other guy. This is terrible for the game. And if you're watching the Olympics, the officiating is better than what we're getting in the NBA. The officiating last night in the Boeheim's Army game, by the way, was crap.
It was at best.
Questionable.
It was Angel Hernandez-like.
Yes, it was not good.
It was not good. But yeah, Rain, I am in agreement with you here. I cannot stand the shooter initiating contact, jumping in to their defender and it being called a foul on the defender. It is ridiculous. And I'm so glad those rules are going to be changing.
Let me give you what the three are. Then these rules have been approved now. So moving forward next year, from what I'm seeing, it's confirmed that, here it is, when a shooter launches or leans into a defender at an abnormal angle, when a shooter kicks his leg up or to the side at an abnormal angle, and when an offensive player abruptly veers off his path into a defender, these will be in effect. They're going to be looking for these types of things next NBA season. I know you are definitely in favor that we're all the three musketeers in agreement on this. We're not arguing with each other for once.
No, for once, I think we all agree on this one thing.
Is that one of the worst things you see in an NBA court? Would you agree?
Well, yeah. Especially because you look at it and you go, oh, that's BS.
Yeah.
Like, why are you calling that?
Right. That shouldn't be a foul.
You know what's even worse? something like that. And then they go to a replay.
For yeah. 5 minutes.
And then I'm sitting there going, this is clearly not a foul. He clearly jumped into him. And some of the best players in the NBA benefit from that kind of crap all the time.
Yeah, Melo does that a lot.
You get all the time. Melo Steph does Curry does
Steph
it
Curry.
All I mean, the time.
My only issue with the wording is the fact the abnormal angle. Now, granted, we all know what should be considered an abnormal angle, but how are they going to enforce it?
They bring in all the officials, and they have to show them examples and go, this is what we're talking about. It can't be up for discussion. It can't be like the strike zone of Major League Baseball where it's different. It should be universal. These calls have to be universal.
Or with the NFL where a couple years ago they talked about making a football move when catching and going out of bounds.
Is that a catch?
What's a football move?
Was that pass interference?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, these things have to be universal. That's why fans get so agitated. And especially with replay in sports now, where you go back and you look at it and you still get it wrong.
Yep. I can't stand that.
That's something that is killing us, Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls. I'll play it again, Glue.
You're killing me, Smalls.
We're right back with Eric Columbia from News Channel 9, right here on the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio. We're with you at QSportsTalk.com. That's where we Twitch. And if there's anything you want us to ask Eric, let us know.
Matt, Space Jam.
This is the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
Bringing in another sportscaster. One, I guess we just heard soon to be on vacation. Wow, thanks for giving up some time in your couple of remaining work hours that you got left before you get some time to yourself. We appreciate you. Big Detroit fan Eric Columbia is. Detroit was out homered by 7 home runs. I'll repeat that. 7 home runs. Still won the game the other day. Did you see that with your Tigers?
Yeah, it was a big win for the Lions over the Vikings, right? Big 17-14. Clash. Touchdowns were hard to come by, apparently.
So Jim Boeheim's not going to be coaching. Did you have a follow-up point? Go ahead.
No, I didn't have a follow-up point. Nobody was laughing at my football pun.
I thought it was funny. I laughed. Did you not hear my laugh? Matt, did you turn my mic off?
Yeah, yes, I did.
He does that to us sometimes, Eric. Jim Boeheim's not going to coach his sons on the USA East Coast trip to Spain due to COVID concerns. That broke, obviously, a little bit later on last night. That's kind of disappointing that we're going to get together this weekend. Would have been a cool thing to experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you were going by original plans, Larry Brown was supposed to coach the Boeheim boys. So, then he apparently comes in close contact with somebody with COVID and they had to change their plans and then just outright cancel. So we don't get our prelude to what the regular season is going to look like, but I think it'll make it that much more special when we see the guys come out when the Orange actually tip things off this fall.
We've been talking about TBT throughout the course of the afternoon in Boeheim's Army. And we're just ridiculously impressed with Chris McCullough. It seems to be there's a lot of voices saying, hey, you know, this is a guy that maybe an NBA team should look at. Are there any others, not even necessarily on Boeheim's Army's roster, but throughout the course of this tournament that you're going, I wonder why he's not getting looked at, or maybe because of this tournament, he might get looked at?
You haven't seen too much crossover between the TBT and those guys going to the NBA. I mean, there's a little bit. Was it Joe Johnson? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that was more the 3-on-3 and other stuff like that. But, don't forget Chris McCullough. He was practically a lottery pick. I mean, the first-round draft pick out of SU, I know he gets a bit of a bad rap because, things at SU didn't go so well before he had his injury the year that he was here. But he has potential, and he's only, getting older and fitting into his game, and, he's killing it on the international scene. So it doesn't surprise me that a guy like Chris McCullough, who has the frame, who has the skill set, who can knock down a shot but then play inside the paint as well, that he's going to do well in a tournament like this where necessarily the talent might not be as good as he's probably used to playing when he was either in the G League or on the end of a bench for an NBA squad.
Talking with Eric Columbia of News Channel 9 here on the ESPN Sportszilla Show. Okay, let's go to the NFL and Aaron Rodgers. So we've obviously seen how all of this has played out. Over the course of the offseason, he finally shows up to Packers camp and certainly lets it fly in the press conference. What did you make of what he had to say? Do you agree with kind of where he's at? Are you on the Packers side? Do you think both are at fault? What are your opinions there?
So, obviously, as being a fan of an NFC North squad, you're always afraid of somebody like Aaron Rodgers. And you also get annoyed by him, right, because he's so good. And he's a bit of a jerk, but like both things can be true, right? Like he can be a bit of a prima donna, no doubt. But the Packers haven't really helped him out offensively during his tenure there. I mean, I know they've developed guys like Davante Adams and a few others, but they're giving guys like Jeff Janis, you know, the pride of Saginaw Valley State, one of his wide receiving options a few years ago, and you have other guys who they just they're signing off their practice squad and, you know, undrafted free agents who they're developing. But I see where he's coming at. The whole charade is getting old. Whether he actually was going to retire, he said he contemplated it. I don't know if I believe that. It's just weird. And the guys at Levitard had a perfect analogy. You go through all this just so you can demand that your team gets Randall Cobb. Like, What is all this about? It's a bunch of shenanigans that are getting tired at this point.
Eric, Deshaun Watson practiced for the first time yesterday. Should he be on the commissioner's exempt list moving forward with all the allegations? What are there, 22 of them against him currently going on?
I would think so, because, I mean, there's one thing if it was only a civil case, which it's moved beyond that at this point.
Correct.
And then also, too, if it was only one to two, three cases, you know, then maybe you can have this plausible deniability of it just being he said, she said. But when you have the amount of cases that have been piled up now and it has crossed over into the criminal sector, I don't see how he's able to practice right now. I don't see how it serves the Texans. I don't see how it serves the victims or the alleged victims. It's just a storm that people should try to be avoiding, but nonetheless, the NFL does it again.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Eric Columbia, News Channel 9 on the Sports Illustrated Show with us here on ESPN Radio. You can Twitch with us at QSportsTalk.com. They're talking about the 10-0 lead that Tampa now has after a grand slam against the New York Yankees. Yikes. So we won't talk about that. We're going to talk about the NBA because the draft is tonight. You're a Detroit fan. Oklahoma State point guard / shooting guard combo guard Cade Cunningham seems to be in the mocks that we discussed earlier. Going to your Detroit Pistons, Troy Weaver, of course, with Cuse there, yes?
Woj just basically said it is Cade Cunningham.
Without question, confirmed, no doubt, like Zach Wilson was the guy and we build after that. Great move, by the way. But if you dig a little bit farther down, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs seem to be the top four in just a very top-heavy draft. After that, it's a crapshoot, I think, more so than even in other years, Eric.
Yeah, and everything that I've read and listened to over the past couple of days has affirmed that. It used to be like a pretty solid top five with Kuminga in there as well, but he has fallen off over the past few months, and really you have that top four. And Troy Weaver has been reported to be interested in guys like Green and Mobley as well. It's just you can't pass up on a guy like Cade, but they would have had no problem trading back to two or three if the Rockets or Cleveland would have been able to provide the draft capital that was going to be necessary to move. So if you're drafting at two or you're drafting at three, you're still going to get some, you know, heck of a player in those two guys. But you mentioned the Knicks earlier when I was listening in, and they have two picks outside of the lottery. What is it, like 19 and 21, somewhere around that? Mm-hmm. The question is for them, do they try to package that and then move up? But is this the kind of draft where that's even going to matter anyway? Because I've long said when it comes to the NBA draft, if you're not firmly in that lottery, it doesn't matter. Like almost every draft, as soon as you get out of the top six, you're not getting a guy that's really going to be all that impactful. Now, yes, there are exceptions to the rule.
Of course.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, who obviously slipped through, or Devin Booker, who slipped through, or
Jokic.
Spider Mitchell, who was great. Yeah, all those guys are exceptions, but more often than not, you need to be drafting in that top half of the lottery, almost top five, to have a guy who's going to be impactful. That what makes tonight, for me, just a celebration. I don't have the worry anymore. I can sit back with a couple red pops and just watch my guys draft the future, which is awesome.
You know, it's funny. I was going to follow up with the next question. This is a guy that does his homework. Yes, Eric Columbia knows what's up, man. Way to stay streamlined. It was a fluid situation, like they like to call it.
It was very
Spencer,
fluid.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so actually, we were going to ask you about Team USA in the Olympics, how you're feeling about, you know, them trying to get gold after the lackluster start to their Olympics. Now, I actually want to kind of go in a little bit of a different direction. Still basketball, but the United States won gold in the 3-on-3 basketball event. What did you think of that? And, you know, obviously a new addition. I thought it was kind of strange to see it in the Olympics, but at the same time, it was fun. What were your thoughts on that event here in 2020 Olympics?
And also, it's the women who won
it. Right.
I think it's fine. You know, I don't know if it should necessarily be an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
But if we're going to do 3-on-3, let's make it like the old guys from the YMCA, right? You know, they can't run a full court game anyway. They're just running pick and rolls in the half court set, and then they're just shooting some bad hook shots. That's what the 3-on-3 should be. Let's really, let's introduce some of our older generation into this, and let's just make it a day at the Y and have those awesome men and women tipping it up locally, be able to be on the big stage. That's what I say the 3-on-3 should be.
Eric Columbia with New Channel 9 here on the Sports Illustrated with ESPN Radio. So you've seen the tweet that's been going around. We've been asking. We had a Twitch poll at QSportsTalk.com. What is not an Olympic sport but could be one in Syracuse? And it's a two-parter, Eric, because if you got an answer for that, give it to us. But what other storylines, and there's many now in the Olympics, have really caught your attention?
I mean, so obviously it's going to be the big headline grabber of Simone Biles and mental health, because we're in this new world now where it's actually being paid attention to. And it's something that you can't just write off as somebody being weak, because mental health is health now. Right. So, and we're going to be walking this fine line, because somebody like Simone Biles, she's definitely earned the benefit of the doubt. She's arguably the best all time in her sport. So if she says she has to take a break and pull herself out, that's something I think we have to honor. Now, as the years go on, and if this creeps into other sports and creeps into other big American sports where somebody is maybe pulling out of a game 7 of a championship, or somebody is pulling out of a Super Bowl, how is that reaction still going to be magnified? How is it going to be dissected? And will it still be respected? I think right now we're in the perfect sweet spot for that. But if an athlete goes to that well too much, how is that conversation going to take place? I think that is the thing that is going to be the most interesting to monitor, not only with Simone Biles, but other sports as we get out of the Olympics here.
You know, Eric, you quoted Dan Le Batard earlier. What is your favorite gimmick from his show? Is it the stat of the day? Is it Stu Gatz always lying? What is it for you?
So I'm a OG Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz fan. So okay. I went to college in West Palm Beach. And so I've been listening to those guys almost since they started. So I was able to listen on 770 ESPN Radio in West Palm Beach, which was great. So I don't necessarily have one favorite gimmick, I will say, besides just what is Stu Gatz. I think he has found radio gold, where he can just be this satirized character where it's just himself cranked up to 11. They always say in the wrestling world, the best wrestling gimmicks are those that actually align with the person, but it's just them turned up. And that's what Stu Gatz is. He is the Stone Cold Steve Austin of sports talk radio, and it's fantastic.
While being as lazy
as the best.
While being as lazy as possible.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Which, I mean, it's the sweet spot. I mean, why can't we all just not do any research, not watch any of the games, and then get paid as much as Stu Gatz does? The Stu Gatz is strong in him.
Have you ever seen Dave Matthews Band in West Palm Beach since you brought it up? Because they got a two-night stand there. You'll also curry favor with Brent Axe, who's a big fan also.
So I'd never have seen DMB live, but I remember him coming to the amp that they have in West Palm Beach there.
That's what I'm talking about.
A bunch of my friends would go there. And I went to a small Christian school in West Palm Beach, a Palm Beach Atlantic University, Go Sailfish. So they're very strict on what you did off of campus. So if you went and partook at a DMB concert, you might not want to come back to campus that night.
Yeah, that wouldn't end up very well for you. I totally understand it. Listen, enjoy your vacation, Eric. Appreciate the time. How long? You are off for next week, so we've got to hit you back up on a Thursday in 2 weeks. Let's book it now, okay?
Yeah, that sounds sounds fantastic, and let's go Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, buddy. All right, that's your guy. You got him. Yeah, that's a consensus, right? Woj bomb for sure.
Yeah,
that's happening.
Yep.
Eric Columbia News Channel 9, thanks for the time. It's ESPN Radio and the Sports Illustrated Show. John Schmelk with Giants.com to talk New York Giants, but mostly Knicks and more on the NBA draft, and that's next.
This is the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
Yep, QSportsTalk.com. You can find us there on Twitch. Any questions related to the New York Football Giants or the draft tonight, throw them our way. We're going to talk to John Schmelk with Giants.com. I got one Giants question for you off the top. It's kind of a two-parter, and then we'll get into the draft. That's the majority of what we want to talk to you about, John. But the Benjamin Judge... Dave Gettleman issue with his weight, and of course he walked out. What happened with that? What insight can you give us behind what we might have read online? And a Shane Lemieux was taken out of practice today, which is a concern for the offensive line.
So, Judge, you didn't really want to get into details today on the Kelvin Benjamin stuff based on what was published last night. ESPN had an article with quotes from him on it. So he did it. Look, it's a transaction. We wanted to move on from the player. I think based on what Benjamin said, you can get an idea of what the issue was.
Yep.
And just keep in mind that Kelvin Benjamin's been trying to get back on the roster for 3 or 4 years. So it is what it is. And conditioning with him has traditionally been a problem with him throughout his career. As for Lemieux, all that we know is that according to a lot of the beat reporters out there, the Giants have let them know that Lemieux is a knee injury. He was carted off the field today at practice. We don't know the extent of that injury. Obviously, until we know, trying to figure out exactly what the next move is or what the results are going to have to wait for those MRI results to come back. So hopefully by the end of today or tomorrow, we should have a better idea of exactly what the seriousness of that injury is.
NBA draft beginning tonight. Knicks have 4 picks in the draft. I tend to think that they don't necessarily need to make all those 4 picks. They could get an NBA-ready player now, for a couple of the draft picks. But I just want to know your opinion, how you feeling heading in. What do you think the Knicks might be doing here?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think if I had to guess, I think they probably make 2 picks tonight. Which one of those picks are the 2 is a better question. I think they're trying to package a couple of those picks to move up into the mid-teens or early teens to try to get one of those shooting wings in this draft, whether it's a Duarte or a Trey Murphy or Court Kispert, one of those guys, because, you know, two-way wings that play defense and shoot and are 6'7 to 6'9 don't come around very often. So I think the Knicks need one of those guys and they'll try to acquire one. And then I think they'll try to get a ball handler and or shooter of some kind, whether that's a Sharif Cooper out of Auburn, whether that is a Deuce McBride, whether that is a, you know, Bones Highland, a Jared Butler. I mean, look, they pick so late, it can be any one of a dozen different guys. But I would guess that, you know, they don't want to roster 3 or 4 rookies this year, so they'll probably try to consolidate those picks. And my guess is that they'll come away with 2 rookies tonight when all is said and done. If they can figure out a way to make a trade, you know, there's no guarantee they want to make a trade that they'll be able to pull it off.
So is D. Rose probably coming back to mentor a young point guard? Is that ultimately the goal for what the Knicks need to do? Because point guard is clearly something they've got to address.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I had a conversation on the Bank Shot, my Knicks podcast, with Mark Berman, who covers the team for the Post just yesterday. And we talked about that, and that was kind of my assumption too. But he said to me that, look, he's heard that Rose is looking for a relatively big money, long-term contract. And he doesn't think the Knicks are going to be willing to go that far with him. So he might not be back, which really leaves a ginormous size hole for the Knicks at point guard, which means they'd probably have to bring in somebody else in free agency in addition to whomever they draft at that spot, if they draft somebody at that spot at all.
Do you think them trading for an NBA veteran is also on the table? I don't know if Dame is really realistic at this point in the process, but I'm just curious to see what other prospects are out there for them to trade for.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that either Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard is going to happen pre-draft. So I would kind of put that out of your head if you're a Knicks fan. I think Ben Simmons, of all the stars out there, is the guy most likely to get moved tonight. I don't think that's a fit for the Knicks in terms of what Philly would want back and where the Knicks are in their building process. So I don't see that in terms of a star, but there's been rumors about maybe Terrence Ross as the Magic try to acquire more picks for their long-term rebuild, move some of their veterans. So maybe, you know, Kevin Knox and a pick for Terrence Ross and a later pick, something like that. I think that's possible. There's no other names that have really come up. I think Malcolm Brogdon's name has been mentioned here or there, or somebody the Patriots might want to move on from, but I think that would cost a decent amount. He's a very good player and obviously plays the point guard position, as we pointed out, a position that the Knicks need somebody at. I would say maybe there's a chance Mitchell Robinson's on the move. He only has 1 year left on his deal, so I don't think he's untouchable in a trade, though I don't think they're trying to shop him either. I think that's one of those, you know, if it works, they think about it, but they're not trying to move him. No one else really comes to mind, though I think they would probably rather trade one of those three picks for a veteran than roster three rookies. So I do think that's on the radar and a possibility. Besides those names I mentioned, though, I haven't really heard much else in that category.
I say, do you think a Russell Westbrook is on the table as well?
No. I think you can take – I think one thing the Knicks are going to do, and this is based on multiple conversations I've had with people, they want to maintain their flexibility for this offseason and next offseason to sign a max free agent. So I don't think that opportunity is going to come around this year, but if you bring in a guy like Westbrook or a guy like John Wall, somebody like that, you're going to erase the ability to add a max free agent next offseason, whether that's a Bradley Beal or a Zach LaVine or, I mean, Steph Curry could be a free agent too. I think that's a pipe dream, but I'll throw the name out there anyway. So I don't think they're going to sign, you know, a guy that makes that much money that would preclude them from, you know, having max money for a free agent next summer.
HughesportsTalk.com if you want to find us on Twitch, ESPN Radio Sports Illa Show, and John Schmelk is with us talking Knicks and the NBA draft. You know, Spencer and Matt, we were all kind of having that conversation about how bizarre it is this year being the draft and when it is now and how the timing is still off, how we got thrown off by the pandemic in 2020. Obviously, we're still dealing with that right now, but it's just weird. It doesn't have, well, first of all, it's not as deep of a draft, but it just doesn't feel the same because it's not at the right time of year. How do you feel about that, John?
Well, it's extremely weird. I mean, last year I was lucky enough that the draft got pushed back and ended up being on the Giants bye weekend. It was just a real coincidence for me, and I was lucky. So I actually got to, like, kind of dial out from the Giants for a couple of days and do a lot of draft stuff. But it's odd having it right at the beginning of Giants training camp. We had our second practice today, and now the draft is tonight. So, yeah, for me, that's very odd. This happening in August is just very odd. It's right by the Major League Baseball trade deadline, so a lot of these things are all happening at the same time in these major sports. So, yeah, I mean, I think finally they're going to try to start the basketball season on time this year, and that'll put everything back on schedule. But, yeah, but right now there's a whole lot going on, and it's weird.
All right, so being that you are a Giants.com reporter, I wanted to close out this segment asking you another question about the Giants. Has anyone stood out so far? I know we're early in training camp, but who has stood out to you so far, maybe through the first couple of practices or through OTAs? Is there anybody kind of on your radar that you're like, look out for them as things move along here?
And by the way, I will point out one more thing with the Knicks quickly. I don't think Chris Paul is as unrealistic as other people are making it out to be. And you know me, I'm very measured about this stuff usually.
For sure.
But Robert Sarver, the Suns owner, has known to be, how you say, frugal. And they have DeAndre Ayton coming up for a max contract. They have Mikal Bridges coming up for a $20-plus million a year contract. Mm-hmm. They just paid Booker. So do they want to go into tax territory to pay Chris Paul? We'll see. And if they I think he wants to go back there. But if the owner's cheap and decides he doesn't want to pony up, Paul becomes a free agent, I think the Knicks are a legitimate option for him. And I do think they would empty the bank to sign him. So let me just put that out there. Just I don't think it's likely, but do I think it's possible? Yes. As for the Giants, I've been impressed by the secondary earlier. I think early in camp, usually the defense is ahead of the offense, and I think that's been the case early here. There's been no pads on, no contact, no shells even. They've done a lot of red zone work. primarily the first 2 days. So I think the secondary's done a good job being really sticky to these wide receivers. They've gotten their hands on a lot of footballs. And I'm not surprised because I think the secondary is one of the strengths of this team. So if I was to pick out a group that's played well so far in camp, it's definitely got to be the back end of that defense.
John, we appreciate the time. As always, John Schmelk with Giants.com. We'll reach out to you again very soon, talk more football and probably more Knicks. Yep. After and as a result of the draft and free agency and everything else that's on the way. ESPN Radio and the Sports Illustrated Show. We have Damon Amendolara up next. He created Orange Fizz, a CUSE alum with CBS Radio. We got to talk TBT. We got to talk Kadir Copeland. We got to talk Kyle Filipowski and a general overview and some of his thoughts on the football team. That's next.
This is the SportsZilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
I think Spencer's on a potty break really quick.
A coffee break.
Oh, man, I need some coffee. You know, he can stay out of the studio for longer if he brings me a coffee also. We're trying to hook up on the phone here with Damon Amendolara, of course, the content creator of Orange Fizz. Want to talk about TBT a little bit more. I've got to get his opinion, being that he's an alum as far as the non-SU additions to Boeheim's Army. We've stated numerous times, we're like, who cares? They win. It's Boeheim's Army. Long as that team wins this, as they move on to the Elite Eight of the tournament, I think we're good with that. And then, of course, Kadir Copeland has said on August 10th, he's going to pick the team he plays college basketball for. He had listed his final eight. Very interesting there. Kyle Filipowski, of course, has committed to Duke. And then we wanted to get a general overview of the football team. Are we trying Damon Amendolara and still getting the voicemail?
Still getting voicemail.
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can text him as we welcome Spencer back in here. You know, it was interesting. I'll start out with some of the Dino Babers stuff, actually. We'll go in reverse order of the way I was kind of laying things out, or we wanted to, with Damon. But he's talked about the importance of a bounce-back season. I'm going to give you a quote from Dino Babers, and I'll get a little bit of a read and reaction here. This is the first thing that we need. This were quotes from just a couple of days ago. I think the first thing we need to call it is exactly what it is. We had major injuries, domino effect of injuries in the offensive line, quite obviously. You know, and we've got a lot of players on watch lists and things like that, but we have nobody selected as all ACC players. And you come off a one-win season, and I don't think you could expect that to be the case for this team. There's a lot of question marks. We've got a lot of good players, and obviously a lot of the circumstances of last year aren't there. The ability to practice in person, and then just to practice in general in the spring helps. But Dino went on to say, you know, most of the issues were not on the football field. Most of them, you know, were walking around campus and fluke things. And, yeah, it's just when you're playing, you know, football games and your fullback is playing guard because he's a great teammate, you're going to have some issues.
Yeah, especially at the FBS level of football, you're going to have lots of difficulties. That's something that you might see in high school, but I don't put too much stock in preseason awards and stuff. They're nice, you know, it's a nice way to look ahead, but it's the same thing as picking, you know, power rankings before the season or mock drafts. It's like, yeah, they're nice to see, but you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the end result.
And again, they were a one-win team, so how much respect are they getting from the people picking these awards in the conference? Not very much.
Right, but and then you lower expectations and you're pleasantly surprised. So I don't necessarily think that that's a big deal. I'm not concerned by that. I'm more concerned solely with this Syracuse roster and can they bounce back from last year. Now, granted, I think they're going to be better than last year. You can't really be much worse. But, you know, they're healthy. They've gotten some guys back. They have a few guys who are back for a fifth year because of the additional eligibility. So I'm not concerned about this team. Do I think they're going to finish towards the top of the ACC? No. But I think you're going to have a decent season from the Syracuse Orange.
Talked about having an older group. I'm referencing Dino Babers' comments again over the last couple of days. But, you know, you got health being an issue. He stated the blatantly obvious fact that we all know that to be a successful football team, if you want to be good, it starts with the offensive line. And, of course, with the defensive line, they have health. They have some depth. If you remember how small the roster shrunk last year, too?
Yes.
It's crazy, let alone the protocols and how bizarre 2020 was with the pandemic. I think just the return to some normalcy, there is no other way to go but up. I can't fathom, you know, looking at the early part of their schedule, they don't chip off a few wins this year. And I still look at that Liberty game and I'm like, what? What just happened last year? That's how bad it got. You can't get any more rock bottom, I think, than Syracuse got. And you've got to cross your fingers and hope for something a little bit more.
I feel like by the end of the first month, Syracuse should probably be 3-1. Would you argue with that?
I think it's fair.
Quite a few winnable games in that first month.
He said winnable. He said winnable.
I'm gonna say 2-2.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 2-2 because Syracuse does also have, especially early in the season, the tendency to lose a game that you thought, all right, this is a winnable game. So, again, not saying winnable. I said winnable. I'm not gonna say I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But 2-2 is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at the end of the year they're not going to have a somewhat respectable record, but I think 2-2 at the beginning. Do we when we say winnable, should we do like the Pee Wee Herman, like, you said the word.
The word of the day type of a thing where everybody goes berserk.
Was that good? Or did that sound more like Bobcat, what is it, Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah, look, Syracuse guy, Bobcat Goldthwait, Syracuse guy. No, I think with Paulie Sibilia out this week on vacation with his plastic hair, when he doesn't wear his hat and he does look a little bit like Pee Wee Herman, since he's not here this week, I don't think you can go with the Pee Wee Herman thing until he comes back.
That's fair.
We've got to get him on tape doing that from now on, and we can make that a thing. It is the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. We're hoping we get a call back from Damon Amendolara as we had him lined up, and some of these conversations will continue with him if we do. The next one that I wanted to talk about him with that we'll discuss, guys, is bringing back that information that broke earlier today about Kyle Filipkowski, somebody that Cuse was targeting heavily
for quite a while now.
Then again, a lot of people were. The skill set just fit in perfectly, but he chose Duke. How do you feel about that? And I wonder if, and I don't know if this is true. I mean, you got a Hall of Fame coach in Jim Boeheim and you've got Coach K, but maybe being that this is Coach K's last year, he wanted to get an opportunity to play there. And I wonder if that factored. And I wonder what his decision-making process was. I haven't had a chance to read too deep into it quite yet.
And a lot of Duke guys are one and dones, whereas Syracuse, you're usually staying a while.
I don't think that Filipkowski is going to be a one and done, though. I think he'll need to be in college for at least a couple of years. But yeah, it's hard to scratch your head when somebody chooses to play for Duke basketball. Obviously, a traditionally powerhouse program, one of the premier programs in NCAA basketball. But being a New York guy, you were hoping for Syracuse. So I don't like the decision. You have to respect the decision, but I would love to see him in Syracuse Orange. But that's not the case. He's going to Duke. So he is an enemy now. And I am no longer on the Kyle Filipkowski train. Filipowski. See, I keep getting it messed up with the kid from New Hartford. Every time I say Kyle Filipkowski, I accidentally say Filipkowski.
Did you get your coffee?
I did get my coffee, but I'm only halfway through it, so I'm still not 100%.
It's a Spencer Davidson break to have a sip of coffee. Why don't you do that really quick while I reset for everybody here on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Twitch with us at QSportsTalk.com. Are you okay? You good?
I don't know, man.
I just have one last thing to say before we take a break real quick. I wanted to ask about Kadir Copeland. That's something else I wanted to ask Damon. He has put out his final eight teams that are under consideration, and he will give his pick and what school he's going to go to on August 10th. And I have to feel, based on everybody that we've talked to and everything that I've read, Cuse has got to be considered a favorite. You know what? And we lost out on, what's his name?
Filipkowski.
There you go. Let's get Kadir Copeland in here, right? It seems to be a feel-good thing. I mean, he talked about going to Boeheim's house for dinner and just talking to him a lot, and his wisdom and some of the stories that he's been able to tell over his, half of a century at Syracuse. I think that resonated with Kadir. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. And I think he would be a great pickup for the Orange. I would think that Syracuse is probably towards the top of the list for him. You're really hoping. The one thing that I was thinking about when he did say that he has his final eight teams is now that there's the name, image, likeness stuff, and you're allowed to profit off your name, image, and likeness, I think you're going to see some more and more top flight college prospects having a LeBron James type decision where they can make money off of it. I mean, do you think that that's something that's a possibility to see in the future? Because that's what it kind of seems like. Oh, I got my eight teams, you know, I'm whittling it down and you're interested in everything like that.
But they're still high school students at that point. So I don't know if that applies to them.
But in New York State, they are trying to address the name, image, and likeness for high school as well.
That's an issue that they're looking into. Because especially when you've got elite prospects like this heading on to college, and it might even be in the realm of, you know, college football players too, there's going to be an ability, especially in certain communities, for them to profit off of their name, image, or likeness. That's absolutely the case. Why don't we take a break right here on the Sports Illa Show? It is ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. That's where we are on Twitch. We got to catch up with everybody in there. We'll get you ready for Brent Axon on the block at the top of the hour. But I have one other thing that I want to address after the break.
This is the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio.
So the medal count as of 3 o'clock this morning, because I can't keep up with the time difference at the Olympics. USA had 37 medals overall, 13 gold, 14 silver, 10 bronze. There's some great storylines. Yep, I've been interested in it. I've been watching it, flipping around all the different channels that have it. That being said, I wanted to end things today and just bring up Cole Beasley again. Do you hear he released a rap song now? Oh, having to do with his responses.
I wonder if he wore a mask in the recording studio.
He's made his opinions known. He's put out his statements now, but he just keeps talking.
But it's not about him, right, Rain?
Go to training camp and play football and let your team deal with the consequences. A vaccinated person could contract COVID and be the cause of a spread, just like an unvaccinated person. But it's just, it's about the public health and everybody else. And whether you like it or not, there's consequences for your action. There's fines and there's just so much more. But that's not even it. You have the right to get vaccinated or not. It's your right as a citizen. But at the end of the day, I don't understand why he continues to poke the bear, if you will, to instigate and draw attention about this.
That's why he's doing it.
But is that what it is?
It has nothing to me. Well, I don't want to say it has nothing to do with the actual issue at hand, but at this point, he's getting more press coverage and more attention than he's ever gotten before.
I don't understand. And I look at the comments of Ron Rivera that we brought up yesterday, who is clearly immune deficient, having battled cancer and his concerns with that. And I just don't understand why you're creating this distraction. I can't imagine that the Buffalo Bills as an organization are happy about this right now.
No.
This doesn't need to be a thing.
And if I'm the Buffalo Bills PR people, I'm telling them to shut up.
Stop. Just stop it. It's bad for the Bills. If I'm a Bills fan, listen, man, Cole Beasley, we've said it before, he was beloved, but I think it was Kevin in our Twitch chat at QSportsTalk.com yesterday who was saying, you know, he was with the Cowboys, good riddance, I'm glad he's on the Bills now. That's from a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, yeah.
If this is what he's going to do, would you want him back on the Cowboys? There's a lot of Cowboys fans out there pulling this crap. No, you don't. You got to deal with Jerry Jones. You don't need any other distractions right now. He's becoming a distraction.
Not to mention, if someone like Jerry Jones isn't really speaking out about it in a negative sense, I mean, why should you? Because Jerry Jones is that, you know, is particular demographic, I suppose, that you would think would be very outspoken about it.
I just don't understand also why there's so much preseason hype as usual for the Cowboys since we brought them up.
Ugh,
are you
because they're
me?
Always pumped up by ESPN and NFL Network and basically every media outlet. Every single season. I don't know why you're so surprised by it.
Are they still America's team? Ugh, is that really a thing?
Get over it. No. They haven't been good since the 90s consistently. Get over it.
So it's not a thing?
No.
Who's America's team? Or is it not? There's just enough parity in the
no
league
America.
Now.
The America's team is whoever's the underdog each year in the playoffs. There's no real America's team anymore.
I feel like there's only one team that's red, white, and blue, but I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my goodness
Nobody
gracious.
Cares.
It's kind of like, let's say they make the Super Bowl. Okay. Dallas fans will root, but the majority of the country is going to root against them, just like the majority of the country would root against the Patriots when Tom Brady was still there. Mm-hmm. Kind of funny he leaves and then America roots for Tom Brady. It's kind of like everybody roots against the Yankees other than Yankees fans, but everybody else roots against them. That's kind of what happens with Dallas.
You saw the first championship that the Golden State Warriors won. They were America's team at that point. Everyone's rooting for them. But then, you know, you live long enough to become the villains. When that's what happens.
When you have a starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, who is very good, but is coming back from a significant injury like that, I think you've got to at least see a handful of games with him on the field and see what the team is made of in the regular season before you can say all of that. Brent Axe on the block, top of the hour, Sportszilla Show, back tomorrow at 2. It's ESPN Radio.